We continue with Surah Al-Fath, which is the 48th Surah of the Noble Quran. It is in the 26th juz of the Noble Quran. Now we're looking at the closing verses of the Surah, verse number 28 as well as 29. To understand the message of these verses, we need to look at the preceding verses in which Allah had promised the Sahaba a conquest and the spoils of war. And this was because of the special merits that they attained by their participation in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and also because of the general virtue of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, at the conclusion of the surah, Allah has summarized the themes that have been mentioned throughout the surah, and that is accepting and obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's commands, and also the entire theme of the dejection of those who are suspicious of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mission that Allah had granted him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is Allah who sent His Messenger on the straight path and on the true religion. Deenul Haqq, the true religion. لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. So that He may make it prevail over every religion. The deen of Islam must prevail over all the other deens. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Allah is sufficient as a witness. Allah caused this deen, the deen of Islam, which is the deen of eternity, and Allah had caused it to prevail, and that Muslims and those who adhere to this deen will be granted power in the future, and that is the culmination of the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After mentioning that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then starts the final verse by saying, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. Now, if you read through the Noble Quran, you'll find that very seldom does Allah refer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name Muhammad. Very seldom. In fact, it is Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, Ya ayyuha rasulu, Ya ayyuha rusulu, Ya ayyuha al-mudaffir, Ya ayyuha al-muzammil. Allah addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by titles of respect. Unlike other Anbiya alayhi salam who were addressed by their names, like Ya Ibrahim, Ya Musa, Ya Isa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only addressed a limited number of times by his name. Do you know how many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been addressed by his name Muhammad in the Noble Quran? The answer is 4 times. It is only 4 times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name Muhammad. And at each instance there is a special reason why it was. The reason why in these verses Allah addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name Ya Muhammad is simply because at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the treaty was being written down, the unbelievers had objected to the name being written Muhammad Rasulullah. And they said, we don't know who's Rasulullah, we want you must write Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam acceded to their request, and they wiped off the words Rasulullah and replaced it with Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But it was with the command of Allah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted this. However, on this occasion now, when the Quran was revealed, Allah put the words Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, alongside the personal name Muhammad, and this is to entrench it permanently that Muhammad was the Messenger of Allah and that Allah had sent him with this powerful message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then goes on to speak about the Sahaba and outlines various traits about the Sahaba. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And those who are with him, they are strong against the unbelievers and soft-hearted amongst themselves. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were strong against the unbelievers, soft amongst themselves. Tarawum rukka'an sujjada yabtaghuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana. You see them bowing or bowing down and prostrating, seeking the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of Allah. Simahum fi wujuhim min athari sujood. There are marks on their faces from the effects of prostration. So in these verses till the end of the surah, Allah describes the companions, and they are those who participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Bay'at Ridwan specifically, and then all the other Sahaba by extension are included in the description that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these are those who survived the test that was presented to them at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. They were steadfast. What are their qualities? The first quality mentioned is that ashidda wal kuffar, they are hard on the unbelievers. Rahama ubainam, merciful to one another. And it was proven time and again that the Sahaba, they were harsh on the unbelievers. They sacrificed all their ethnic and tribal relations, family relations. They were willing to fight even their own family members for the sake of the deen of Islam. Like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said at the time of Badr, Allah, allow me to chop their necks off so that Allah may see that we do not have any compassion in our heart for the unbeliever. That was the degree of which they submitted and they abided themselves by what Allah loved and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had outlined for them. Yet amongst themselves there was this tenderness, there was this muwahat, this Islamic brotherhood. We know well about the brotherhood between the muhajireen and the ansar. The Quran has mentioned that and spoken about that. And the highest level of perfecting one's iman is to include within one's iman love. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ إِيمَانُهُ. If a person loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah, then that person's iman is now complete. So this means that anyone who has subjugated his friendship, his love, his hatred, his animosity under the will of Allah, that person has perfect faith. That person has perfect iman. Now, what is being clarified here is that the Sahaba were being hard against the unbelievers, and that should not imply that there was no tenderness and softness in their hearts. And the fact that they were fighting with every unbeliever. Yes, they had relations with the unbelievers also. In fact, in the Quran, Allah speaks about the fact that you can have a certain degree of relations with the unbelievers, but it is limited to a certain situation. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم. Allah does not forbid you from those who do not fight you on account of faith and then expel you from your homes, that you do good to them and deal with them justly. Meaning that you shouldn't just be hard-hearted with any disbeliever and try to show them that you have no love for them in your heart. What we are being told is that you can have dealings and relationship, but the love should not enter your heart, and that if it comes to the point of jihad, then you should be willing to submit to what Allah has decreed for you. And there are numerous incidents where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba displayed their kindness and compassion to the helpless, to the needy unbelievers, treated them justly, treated them equitably, and this is part of the general injunctions and the general teachings of the Deen of Islam, that no activity flouting justice and equity is permissible, even in when you're on the battlefield, even at that point, that you cannot cannot violate the laws of the Sharia. So, in essence, the Muslims are soft-hearted amongst themselves. In other words, they see to the well-being of their fellow brethren, and they are kind to them. They are lenient towards them. They treat them with humility. They treat them with modesty. And these were the salient features of the Sahaba. Yet, while that being their feature, they were also very hard and strong against the kuffar. There are other features of the Sahaba that have been mentioned and will continue elaborating that, inshallah.